Audio on article, of NAM, 2019. Out of thin air. A port or materialization studies performed between 1928 and 1938 by Ella McChenery Papp. Article in Journal of Scientific Exploration, December 2019. Most footnotes removed here, and thus not mentioned. Abstract. Physical mediumship is characterized by the occurrence of phenomena that seem to defy currently prevailing standard theories of physics, such as inexplicable movements of objects, macropsychokinesis, and the seemingly unexplained materialization of objects, sometimes in closed spaces, a ports. Nevertheless, systematic investigations into a port phenomena have barely been performed. The present article introduces one of the few exceptions. The studies were conducted by Ella McChenery Papp from 1928 to 1938 in Budapest. He summarized his research in a voluminous but little-known Hungarian treatise that ranks among the largest monographs of experimental parapsychology written by a single investigator. His book contains descriptions of some of the most spectacular occurrences recorded in physical mediumship. One medium in particular, Lajos Papp, allegedly produced a port that ranged from solid objects, various liquids, snow, plants, ensembles of living insects, crawfish, to living vertebrates up to the size of a sparrow hawk. After presenting an overview on the book's contents and some of the most remarkable phenomena described therein, summarize the results of an experimental series performed with Lajos Papp by another Hungarian-born researcher, Nando Fodor, drawing from Fodor's and also others' observations, demonstrate that Chenery Papp's research approach contained remarkable loopholes that devalue his effort to leave a supposedly objective report to posterity. The authenticity of Lajos Papp's phenomena thus remains questionable. Nevertheless, Chenery Papp's extensive treatise remains of historical significance in parapsychology and provides an instructive example highlighting difficulties in studying physical mediums. Introduction. Just as in other research disciplines, parapsychological treatises published in languages other than English are often little known among the main community of experts. Additionally, the more specific the field of research, and the more unfamiliar the language, the more likely the work stays little known or becomes practically forgotten. Still, such publications can represent important research contributions that deserve wider attention. In the context of physical mediumship, this is exemplified by translations of Icelandic sources on the medium Indridi Indridason, by Polish sources on Franek Kluski, by Portuguese, Italian, and German sources on Carlos Mirabelli, by Italian sources on Palladino Bottazzi, 2011, or, regarding macrophysical phenomena in the context of a mystic, by the translations of old Italian sources on Joseph of Cupertino. In the present article, I present an overview of one of the most voluminous monographs on physical mediumship published, the Hungarian treatise Huge Late Hatrock Fell, Toward New Horizons, authored by Ella McChenery Papp, 1938. This amply illustrated book contains a summary of the author's investigations performed between 1928 and 1938 on phenomena of physical mediumship that focused on psychokinetic phenomena, inexplicable movements of objects, and a port phenomena, physical objects and even living organisms that appear in an inexplicable manner, often inside a room or a locked location. Chenery Papp was born on July 29, 1869. He held the office of the chief chemist of the Hungarian civil service in Budapest before retiring. Among other duties, he was responsible for the quality control of wine. However, he had been born into a family with a religious and spiritualistic attitude, and he came to know many of the leading personalities of the spiritualistic scene in Hungary, including one of the founding fathers of Hungarian spiritualism, Adolf Greenhut, with whom he became acquainted in 1898. (2016). Owing to his scientific background, Chenery Papp intended to study mediumistic phenomena by applying scientific methods, and from 1928 onward the opportunity arose due to his personal contact with two Hungarian physical mediums, Tibor Molnár, presumably 1900? And Lajos Papp, 1883 to 1938, to whom he was not related. In 1932, he even established a metapsychical laboratory that was specifically designed to ensure optimal control conditions for his investigations. It also contained a museum in which all apported objects were exhibited in showcases. In addition to his magnum opus, numerous articles in Hungarian newspapers and a few other Hungarian articles, Chenery Papp also published several reports about his work, especially with Lajos Papp in German and one in English. Unfortunately, I was unable to find out much about Chenery Papp's activities after 1938, or about how and when he died. Nevertheless, he published a small Hungarian booklet on media mystic matters in 1941, and according to Camelius Tabori he was still going strong in 1942, editing the monthly of the Hungarian Metapsychical Society, though for a while it had to be suspended. Tabori, 1951-242. The Apport Museum, in any case, was destroyed during the communist regime after the Second World War. In the following sections of this article, I will first present an outline of the contents of Chenery Papp's book. Then, I will summarize noteworthy passages, beginning with reports of two sittings with Austrian medium Maria Silbert, 1866-1936, that Chenery Papp attended, and continue with general overviews on the life and the phenomena reported from Molnár and Lajos Papp, drawing also from the German literature and other authors who wrote about their mediumship. Thereafter, I will describe the experimental laboratory that Chenery Papp established to study physical mediumship, and some of the most remarkable phenomena Chenery Papp reported from Lajos Papp, particularly apports. Finally, as is recommended in writings on the fraud-loaded field of physical mediumship, I will discuss the limitations of Chenery Papp's experimental approach, and comment especially on an unfavorable appraisal of Lajos Papp's mediumship advanced by another Hungarian-born psychical researcher, Nándor Fodor, 1895-1964. A comparison of their investigative approaches and their reports on obtained results demonstrates that Chenery Papp's proceedings contained considerable loopholes that ultimately devalue his attempt to compile a supposedly objective research document. Nevertheless, his voluminous treatise remains of historical significance in parapsychology and offers methodological lessons highlighting difficulties in studying physical mediums. In total, Chenery Papp's book encompasses 573 pages of small print and 86 images and photographs. In addition, it includes 32 plates with even more photographs. The book's first parts comprise several introductory sections on mediumship that end on page 129. They include a translated chapter written by Sir Oliver Lodge, 1851-1940. On the spirit hypothesis, and a preface written by Latvian, German Karl Blacker, 1867-1939, a professor of chemistry in Riga, Latvia, with whom Chenery Papp corresponded because of the latter's own studies into apport phenomena. Other sections provide general introductions into different forms of trance and mediumship, such as talking, writing, painting, and especially physical mediumship. Regarding the latter, Chenery Papp described typical developments of physical mediums, their phenomena, how seances are held, and possible ways to produce fraudulent phenomena. He introduced other ostensible apport mediums, including the ones Blacker worked with, and Mr. Wolf, a pseudonym for Prokop Vlík, a young man with whom physician Dr. Jan Simza experimented in Prague. G. Simza, 1931-1934. Moreover, Chenery Papp reported on the sittings with Maria Silbert that he attended in 1928 and 1932 in Graz, Austria. From pages 130-160, Chenery Papp provided an outline of the development of Lajos Papp's mediumship, the control measures performed before and during sittings, the séance rules, and the laboratory in which the sittings were held starting in 1932. On pages 160-350, Chenery Papp described in detail 35 sittings in which remarkable phenomena occurred. They are based on notes that were taken down immediately after or during the seances. Starting in September 1936, the events during the seances were dictated to a shorthand writer who sat outside of the experimental room. Pages 351 to 372 contain considerations about reports of previously destroyed objects that seemed to reappear intact at sittings. In the section from page 373 to 540, short descriptions of all sittings and of all spontaneous phenomena Chenery Pap observed with mediums Molnar and Lajos Pap are given in chronological sequence. Some of the more interesting occurrences are presented more extensively, in addition to the sittings that were already described in the preceding sections. In total, this section contains 266 reports. Of these, 57 relate to spontaneous apport phenomena that were attributed to Molnar in 43 cases, to Lajos Pap in 7 cases, and in 7 other cases both mediums were present, but it remained unclear who had been responsible for producing the apports. Regarding the 209 seances held between 1928 and 1938, both mediums were present at 70. Lajos Pap as the sole medium at 124, and Molnar as the sole medium on 15 occasions. From page 541 onward, the book contains several overview sections. For example, the names of all guest visitors at each seance are given, and a list of articles about Chenery Pap's research that were published in Hungary and elsewhere is provided. The book concludes with a detailed table of contents and the errata. Picture: Elmer Chenery Pap's sittings with Maria Silbert. Maria Silbert, 1866 to 1936, was a widely known Austrian physical medium. On the one hand, she was known for eliciting large-scale physical anomalies in full light. On the other hand, she and her sittings were hardly controlled in terms of scientific standards. Typical phenomena reported from Silbert's sittings include raps, powerful psychokinetic movements of tables and other objects, the latter's dematerialization and rematerialization, allegedly, even from within a locked safe, Ivian, 1937, and their being inexplicably engraved with signs and letters, especially with the name Nell, as her control personality called herself. When the lights were dimmed and it was relatively dark, bright flashes and other mysterious lights were regularly observed. The summaries of the two sittings with Silbert provided below illustrate typical seances of hers. Chenery Pap's first sitting with Silbert took place on May 4, 1928. He arrived at Mrs. Silbert's home at 5:30 in the afternoon together with Tibor Molnar and two other women from Graz, Mrs. Felix and Mrs. Dettelbach. They sat around a table of about 1 equals 1.3 meters size in the bright light of late afternoon. Chenery Pap sat opposite Mrs. Silbert. While the sitters conversed about psychical matters, faint raps on the table and a cupboard behind Silbert were heard, and first touches of their legs were reported. Then, Chenery Pap placed his watch on the wooden boards that connected the table legs at about 15 centimeters height above the floor, hoping it would be engraved by Nell in the characteristic manner. For the same purpose, Molnar placed his silver cigarette etui, a small case, on these boards, and Mrs. Dettelbach her golden wristwatch. The touches became stronger, and they felt like their legs beneath the table were being squeezed by a strong hand. Likewise, the raps became louder. At 6:15, Mrs. Felix, who sat at the long end of the table between Chenery Pap and Mrs. Silbert, shouted out in surprise that her chair was being pulled from behind, and she was afraid that she would fall down. Chenery Pap reported that he saw the chair moving about 20 to 25 centimeters toward the back. Molnar claimed that his neck was squeezed from behind by something that felt like a hand, although he sat in front of a closed window. Thereafter, the objects from the wooden boards repeatedly fell down from it, seemingly without being touched, and the sitters placed them onto the board again. At one point, the sitters found that the inside of Molnar's cigarette etui was engraved with the word "Nl" and two triangles, figure 1a. Furthermore, when Mrs. Silbert conversed, gesticulating with both hands with her elbows resting on the table. Mrs. Dettelbach's wristwatch suddenly dangled from Mrs. Silbert's forefinger. Even though Chenery Papp was looking directly at Mrs. Silbert at that moment, he didn't see how the watch appeared on her hand. It just seemed to be there from one moment to the next, although immediately before it had still lain on the wooden board below the tabletop and above the floor. The word "Nil" was engraved on the outside of the wristwatch. The distinct touches on the legs continued, and when Chenery Papp held his hand beneath the table, it felt as if it was pressed by several fingers. Meanwhile, dusk had set in, but it was still light enough to observe everything in the room well. During their ongoing conversation, Mrs. Silbert suddenly closed her right hand into a fist, and when she opened her fingers again, Chenery Papp's watch lay on her palm. He stressed that Mrs. Silbert's hands had always remained on or above the table. The inside of the watch's lid was engraved with the letters F. N. For Fredericus Nell, with two other scribblings figure 1A. Thereafter, Chenery Papp reported hammer-like strokes on the table surface, and he mentioned table levitations, but he didn't describe them further. Chenery Papp visited Mrs. Silbert a second time on May 18, 1932. This time he was accompanied by both mediums Tibor Molnar and Lajos Papp, and by a friend of his, Laszlo Vitti. In addition, an acquaintance of Mrs. Silbert, Mr. Reich, participated in the sitting. Again, they sat around the wooden table in the dining room at 5:30 in the afternoon. However, Chenery Papp did not report his experiences of the sitting in person, but he reprinted the report by Vitti, who had already published his own account in the Hungarian journal Metapszichikai Folyadat, Metapszichical Journal, in 1933. Vitti stressed that he moved back from the table with his chair after he felt the first touches on his legs to have a better view of what was happening under the table. When his left knee was touched twice, he didn't see anything that might have caused these touches. As in the seance described before, many raps and touches were reported by the sitters, and they place various objects onto the wooden boards under the table above the floor in order to receive engravings or writings on them. Vitti observed these objects closely. On one occasion, he saw a postcard fall down from the boards, seemingly by itself, and at 7:15 he even saw his watch, which had already fallen to the floor from the board, suddenly vanish in an inexplicable manner. 3/4 of an hour later, this watch fell unexpectedly down on his left knee and onto the floor. It contained several scribblings, including two engravings of the name Nell, figure 1B. At about 8 o'clock, Mrs. Silbert stood up from her chair, and held her hands open toward the ceiling. Lajos Papp's watch suddenly fell into her hands from above, and then farther to the floor. Shortly thereafter, she turned in another direction, and Molnar's cigarette étui fell into her hands, seemingly out of the air. Loud raps continued to be heard, at times from two different locations in perfect unison. This was supposed to show that these raps were caused by one and the same agency. Vitti concluded his report with theoretical considerations about the observed phenomena, which he considered genuine. In contrast to Chenery Papp, however, he didn't believe that they were caused by a spirit of a deceased person. In the following section, I'll provide some background information on the physical mediums Tibor Molnar and Lajos Papp, beginning with Molnar. Chenery Papp began to experiment with Tibor Molnar systematically in July 1928. However, readers of his book don't learn much about him, and, without explaining why, Chenery Papp stopped working with him in 1932. In a conversation with Fodor, he stated that he broke relations with Molnar because the latter had an undesirable effect on Lajos Papp. Somehow, it seems that Molnar must have fallen from grace with Chenery Papp. In former publications, Chenery Papp typically used Molnar's full name and described his character in positive terms, but he only referred to him as M.T. throughout his 1938 book, as if trying to avoid mentioning his full name. M.T. stands for Molnar Tibor because in Hungarian, the Christian name is typically given after the family name. According to Chenery Papp, 1930-1931, Molnar was a lanky man of only 1.59 meters size and 47 kilograms weight. In 1930, he was 30 years old. According to Chenery Papp, he was battered by a mob during the communist riots in the late 1910s. Since then, he had been ailing constantly, and his mediumistic abilities were strong only when he was in good health. Allegedly, the first spontaneous anomalous phenomena started to occur in 1921 or 1922. Molnar stated he was frightened by them and consulted a physician who, nevertheless, considered him insane. Later, another physician familiar with psychical phenomena, a Dr. Lebeck, acquainted Molnar with spiritualism, and he thus became a medium. By profession, Molnar was a painter, but he didn't seem to earn much. As a medium, Molnar was particularly known for physical phenomena and producing apports, often spontaneously and in bright light. At the beginning of seances, he typically fell into a trance and a personality named Consuelo spoke through him. An author who visited about 50 seances with Molnar between 1926 and 1928, Carl Reithy, described how in red light, raps and drumming sounds were heard from the table around which they sat, and how it frequently moved and levitated, even without anybody touching it. Reithy, 1928 A, B, C. Molnar's hands, including his thumbs, were held by his neighbors, and his feet were controlled as well via body contact. When the levitated table remained suspended in a stable position, sitters sometimes tried to move it, but it seemed impossible. Similarly, Janos Trani sat with Molnar from 1925 until 1934, usually in the afternoon. Trani, 1951. Three, the sitters would form a chain with their hands and step 2 meters back from the table, with nobody touching the table. Still, the table would move vividly in the space between them, and powerful raps and drumming sounds were heard that seemed to correspond to movements of the entranced Molnar's controlled hands. Figure 2. Illustration of supposed telekinetic table phenomena without touch mediated in 1930 by Tibor Molnar in the dark, whose ankles are controlled by Elmer Chenery Papp. The man with the beard is supposed to be Lajos Papp. The white parts of the table depict phosphorescent parts that would glow in the dark and make the table's movements visible. These phenomena endured for 20 minutes, and sittings were held each week for more than half a year. Trani, 1951, compare figure 2. Chenery Papp, 1938, reported similar experiences with Molnar. In darkness, numerous kinds of apports were brought by Consuelo, sometimes from different rooms of the house the seance was held in, or even from surrounding houses. Apports allegedly also occurred when Molnar lay on a sofa, tightly sewn into a blanket that covered his body from his feet to his neck. In dim light, larger objects could sometimes be seen traveling through the air in inexplicable ways. When Chenery Papp began to work with Molnar in 1928, he knew him already from previous sittings. For his studies of table phenomena, Chenery Papp used 2 tables that were specifically designed. One table had broad and slanted sideboards to hamper sitters lifting it with their fingers. Still, it levitated and produced hammer-like raps, even when nobody seemed to touch it. The second table had no top, but long boards on each side, figure 3. Therefore, thumbs and other fingers could not easily be stuck under it to lift it. The tabletop was replaced by a box that fit exactly into the hollow construction of the table's sideboards, which overtopped the surface of the box by 3 millimeters. It was not possible to lift the box out of this construction with fingers when the table stood on its legs, but still it frequently levitated out of the table's scaffold during seances. Figure 3. A. One of Elmer Chenery Papp's experimental tables used for obtaining telekinetic phenomena. B. Shows the special inset of the table that was constructed instead of a tabletop. It supposedly levitated frequently out of its framing during seances. Other physical phenomena of Molnar's reported by Chenery Papp include levitations of little baskets, the stopping of the pendulum of a clock from a distance, setting it in motion again, and, most notably, numerous spontaneous apports that frequently occurred in full light. The most drastic example might have been the ostensible apport of a fragment of a gravestone that fell down next to Molnar when he entered a room Chenery Pap sat in with Lajos Pap and a regular circle member, Sandersets, at 7:15 p.m. on August 8, 1931. This stone weighed 9.2 kilograms. Perhaps the most astonishing apport reported from Molnar was the recreation of a sealed envelope that was burned by Chenery Pap and another sitter during a seance on February 16, 1929. Chenery Pap specifically created three envelopes for experimental purposes in October 1928, and marked them individually in various ways, also using seals. Then the medium prompted the sitters to choose one of these envelopes, and to burn it in the oven. Consequently, the two men switched a lamp on, and chose envelope number 2, which had additionally been marked just prior to the seance, as witnessed by several sitters. Chenery Pap and his companion thoroughly inspected it, put it into the oven, and watched it burn. Thereafter, they were supposed to collect the ashes from the oven, put it on a shovel and put the shovel on the seance table. In darkness again, Molnar spasmodically pressed the hands of the controllers next to him for some time, and eventually claimed the envelope would be present again. The light was switched on, and indeed the envelope lay on the ashes in the shovel on the table, and it was recognized by the sitters as the specimen burnt previously. Apparently, even the most minute idiosyncratic marks were present exactly where they had been before, including the mark just added before the sitting. However, Molnar's ability to produce physical phenomena eventually declined. The last sitting Chenery Pap held with Molnar dates to June 8, 1932. During the earlier sittings, Molnar produced only small apports such as a single coin, small pieces of plants, or even no apports at all, whereas Lajos Pap's ability to generate apports seemed to develop considerably and included more and more living animals. But, as mentioned before, Chenery Pap didn't state why he terminated his work with Molnar. Tyranny sat with Molnar until 1934, and I was not able to find further information about Molnar's mediumistic activities and his life after 1934. The medium whom Chenery Pap worked with most intensively, Lajos Pap, was born on February 26, 1883. He was married, had two sons and one daughter, and worked as a carpenter. Chenery Pap described in detail how the mediumship of Lajos Pap was discovered and how it developed. Apparently, his mediumistic abilities were first noted when he participated in table seances organized by Tyranny in autumn 1922. Although Lajos Pap held a materialistic position and didn't believe in mediumistic phenomena at that time, Tyranny convinced him to join a sitting, and in his presence the table moved most violently. Lajos Pap attended more sittings, and slowly he became interested in the phenomena. In 1924, Chenery Pap first visited sittings with Lajos Pap. From autumn 1925 on, Lajos Pap entered trance states and the strength of the table phenomena increased, and the first full levitations of the table were reported. According to Tyranny, 1951, he even moved a sofa on which three persons sat 3 meters across the room without touching it. The first apports were noticed during a sitting held in 1927. At that time, Lajos Pap's control spirits didn't speak through him. Communication with them had to be performed via tiptology, i.e., via the tilting table knocking its legs on the floor. From 1927 onward, Chenery Pap aimed at introducing more and more control conditions into the seances, and he visited Graz, London, Paris, and Munich to study physical mediums, such as Mrs. Silbert, and the methods applied by their researchers. Thereafter, he frequently invited Molnar, Lajos Pap, and 4 to 6 selected sitters to seances to be held in his own facilities, and he began to write protocols for the sittings. The phenomena of Lajos Pap were similar to that of Molnar. They included levitations of little baskets painted with phosphorescent color, the stopping of the pendulum of a clock from a distance and setting it in motion again, various luminous phenomena, and of course the production of apports, From July 1928 on, the sittings with Molnar and Lajos Papp were held in a special room that belonged to a facility Jenery Papp rented in Budapest, where Molnar also had his atelier.